You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Secret Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio for this Thursday, February 6th, 2025. It is 7:06 in the morning. Nice to have you along here from the ice planet Hoth by way of Chippewa Falls, where how would you best describe the roads on your part of the state there, Greg Bach?
An icy hellscape.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's that way in a lot of places, and now it's going to get really windy, and then it's going to get really snowy and blowy, and that brings in somebody who is here. Where's Rob's comment here? Our award-winning snow queen, Rob from Tigerton, writes, "I bet she will be out Saturday making snow angels."
DJ Flip Mix.
And by the way, Rob, thank you again. I'm popping up on social media here. This is a sunrise photo that he sent in from the nearby town of Germania. So
that
thank you
beautiful.
Thank you very much for that. He also says, good morning. It is cloudy and 20 degrees. We had a dusting of snow and a thin layer of ice. County crews are out salting and sanding the roads.
Yeah.
He was doing the same. So, yeah.
Folks, let me tell you something. Last night, I was in Milwaukee, and I live in Kenosha. I drove home. It took an hour and 15 minutes, and I never got above 35 miles an hour.
Ouch.
I've not seen that many spinouts and crashes since a snowstorm back in 2013 or 2014.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Well, now let's talk about Saturday. Actually, before we get there, we get the wind advisory first.
Yes, we do. So we've gotten through the ice. A lot of the roads are definitely improving. Expect up north. They're still completely covered right now, but we are looking at some sunshine definitely moving in by late morning, continuing throughout the afternoon for most of the state. But those winds are going to start to get extremely strong. We're talking sustained. That's a constant wind at about 20 to 30 miles per hour, where the gusts are going to be into the 40 mile per hour range. And to be honest, in some places, they could hit 50 mile per hour gusts. So this could cause some power outages. This is also going to blow and drift that snow that did fall into northern areas. So that's going to be a problem onto those roads all throughout the day. And of course, that's going to take us down from feeling in the 20s all the way down to feeling sub-zero. And then our actual temperatures tonight fall sub-zero, especially far up north. We crash cold. Tomorrow we'll stay in the upper teens to mid-20s with a lot of sunshine, but then Saturday's storm moves in. I mean, we've already got winter storm watches out, especially in towards the Eau Claire area. We're looking at a good 4 to 7 inches widespread for the Northwoods, pretty much north of Highway 29. Now, this system could drag that high amount a little bit further south. Fox Valley, you're still in the sights for it, and even places as far south as Wisconsin Dells. So a big chunk of the state going to be hit very, very hard. And this is an all-day event on Saturday. This is going to start before you probably even wake up. And then it's going to continue until the sun sets, and then it'll start to wind down and leave. Now, the good thing is it's all snow. No ice should be expected with this, but a lot of snow headed our way.
Did I mention it's only 16 days until the Brewers' first spring training game and that the season opener is 7 weeks from today?
Oh, you're making us feel better.
I got to do it. That's all I can offer you here.
That's true. That's true.
You know, 53 days until the home opener.
Yeah.
So We have something to look forward to. Brittany,
almost
thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
It's 7:10 right now, and just a little bit of sports to share with you. In their first game since trading away longtime guard Chris Middleton, the Milwaukee Bucks beat Charlotte on the road 112-102, snapping a four-game losing streak. Damian Lillard had 29 points, Bobby Portis 23. Giannis Antetokounmpo sat out with a sore left leg. The Bucks will play in Atlanta tomorrow. Get your reset for the weekend here. Badger men's basketball, ranked 21st in the country. They will play at Iowa on Saturday at noon, and you can catch that game on Civic Media on several stations and the app. Coverage begins at 11 a.m. Saturday. Stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, and Richland Center. Go to civicmedia.us to learn a bit more about that. The 11th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team is next playing Saturday afternoon in Omaha against Creighton. The first-in-the-nation Badger women's hockey team plays the Minnesota Gophers on the road Saturday and Sunday. And the Badger men's hockey team will host Penn State Friday and Saturday evenings. And you can catch that on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids or the app 6:30 on Friday evening, 5:30 on Saturday. So if you, whether you caught it or not, I want to recap our interviews with state superintendent candidates, at least two of the three that we talked to. And then I saw a lengthy interview that the third candidate, Brittany Kinzer, did with a Madison TV station. And we tried repeatedly, but were not successful in getting Brittany Kinzer to agree to an interview with us. There's a good chance that it might have something to do with the fact that every Wednesday morning here at 7:30, we dedicate a segment to public schools and telling you about how great they are, but also how much under threat they are, especially from the explosive growth of the voucher school system. Taxpayers are paying for two school systems in this country right now. And Brittany Kinzer said in this particular interview that she is the only candidate in favor of what they call the school choice program. And also wanted to see a return of state testing standards to some national standards that Wisconsin had pegged them to until last year. But it was clear to me from her remarks that when you're talking, as Republicans in the legislature do, only about the standards, only about raising the bar and raising expectations, what I'm hearing is, but we're not going to provide enough additional resources because we're looking to undermine public schools. And so we're going to set the bar higher and higher. And yet, as inflation rises, we're going to do less and less for them. Then there was the incumbent, Jill Underle, who talked with us on Tuesday. And we talked about the standardized tests and the changes that she and the Department of Public Instruction made last year. Yesterday, we talked to one of the other challengers, Jeff Wright from the Sauk Prairie School District, who did not emphasize the testing standard so much as the timing of doing it. So I'll get to that as I recap the interviews that we had and really what's happening with these standardized tests. Now, again, there are many states that align their standardized test scores to a national yardstick called the National Assessment of Educational Progress, NAEP. But you don't have to. And Wisconsin is not the only state that has moved on from those standards to set their own. And it appeared from Dr. Underle's comments that she was concerned that the national standards were essentially being set, again, in a way being set to set up public schools for failure, and that it would be better to measure the progress of Wisconsin students against themselves. How are they doing here in Wisconsin? And not that they're falling short towards somebody else's expectations out in Washington, D.C. And so, as Dr. Underle mentioned, she and educators from around the state came in, looked at the current looked at the old forward test, made recommendations for new questions. If you're changing the questions, then you're also changing the scoring. And she changed the labels on the scoring. Under the NAEP standard, the four labels were advanced, proficient, basic, and below basic. And then, you know, the test scores, they're also known as cut scores, determined where those four bands would be. Well, under the revised exam, the labels are called advanced, meeting, approaching, and developing. And the scores were adjusted as well. Now, Republicans pounced on this as saying that it was nothing more than DPI and Jill Underle making lowering the bar of expectations to make Wisconsin students appear to be doing better than they are if you were comparing them state by state. Dr. Underle said, no, you're making an apples to oranges comparison, And she felt that if this wasn't a political year with a state superintendent election, this probably wouldn't be an issue. You change the questions, you change the scores. They simply changed the labels, so it wasn't like you're not being listed as below basic. Developing proficiency, approaching proficiency, meeting proficiency, or advanced. Again, none of this seems reason to politicize the issue, but Republicans in the legislature are always looking for a reason to politicize our public schools, to criticize them. As Robin Voss did, the Assembly Speaker, in his response to the State of the State address, dedicated a good chunk of it to, again, calling our public schools failing. When what is failing is what Speaker Robin Voss and legislative Republicans have been doing now for the 15 years that they've been in control, where state aid has not kept up with inflation. So school districts have to increasingly turn to the local property taxpayers to hike their own taxes just to keep up with current expenses and inflation. Nothing new, nothing extra, just to keep up. Because there are people in Republican circles who would be very happy to strangle public schools, continue to push money toward private, often religious schools, where they can pick and choose their students, and where they can engage in the indoctrination that they are accusing public schools of doing. Because what do I always say? Every assertion is a confession. Now, we had Jeff Wright on, and he's another one of the challengers, and he said it quite bluntly. It wasn't about the test scores, but he said the timing was terrible. He said, we're just coming out of the pandemic, and schools need to know year after year whether the things that they're putting in place to help kids address learning loss from the pandemic were working. And he says, just as we were getting to the three-year finish line to see if we made progress, to then change that finish line makes it really hard for schools, teachers, and families to know whether or not their child has fully recovered from the pandemic. And I will say that that's a fair point as well. And both can be right, that the test needed to be changed and be made more realistic, set a Wisconsin standard, but also that maybe this was a year or two too early to be making that kind of a change. Regardless, what you get from both Jeff Wright and Dr. Underley is an unwavering commitment to your local community neighborhood public schools all over Wisconsin. And from others, the reason I'm seeing so many county Republican Party posts are pushing for Brittany Kinzer is an unwavering dedication to expanding the voucher and charter school system, which continues to dilute our public schools. Now, these three will all face off in 2 weeks. The top two candidates will move on to the April 1st general election, and we'll talk more about that between February 18th and April 1st for that key race, along with that race for state Supreme Court on April 1st as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yes, as Tony writes on YouTube, this is a Rickroll years in the making.
Civic Media is just one Rickroll. And we're shutting it down.
That's right. Rick Astley's birthday today, 59. I have trouble processing some birthdays. That is definitely one of them.
Wow, but, that's full. Oh.
I know. Let's tell you what's over on the website, upnorthnewswi.com, upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI out there. And as I mentioned, the story that I just talked about with the testing scores, you'll find that right up there on our homepage. I just had it published. And there's a little bit more to my article than what I just told you about. A bit more about the history of standardized testing going back to No Child Left Behind, which, again, when you talk about where you're setting the bar, this one had it set that in 10 years, by the 2013-2014 school year, nearly every student was going to be at 100% proficiency in math and English and other subjects. And gosh, that all sounds really nice. But what are you going to do to help kids get there? And if, you know, people say, well, you know, you just continue drilling them, testing them. Like, sure, why don't you just hand out, you know, a bullwhip while you're at it? There are kids who have needs. There are teacher shortages. There are textbooks that are decades old. There are school systems that have computers, some that don't. Stop talking about the bar being raised if you're not supporting the kids and the teachers who need to work so hard to meet those expectations. So again, more about the history of that you'll find in my article on our website. Also, my article from a few days back of why the Brad Schimmel rape kit backlog is a big part of the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. So again, we do a little history lesson. Brad Schimmel was Attorney General during Scott Walker's second term as governor, and there was a backlog of rape kits that was developing in Wisconsin and other places around the country before Brad Schimmel came into office, but he knew about it. And in the first 2 years of his time as Attorney General, out of a backlog of thousands of rape kits, barely a half a dozen were tested. And there was controversy over, you know, whether Schimmel should have done more to ask for state funding rather than chasing after, you know, national grant funding. Did that cause the delay? And also there's attitudinal barriers about testing rape kits. There's still a lot of doubting the victims. It doesn't really provide a sense of urgency to them, and that enabled that backlog to build up. So again, in the article, we talk about the history of it, Schimmel's behavior about it, what he is saying about the backlog, and what Dane County Judge Susan Crawford is saying about the backlog. And whether it's Schimmel or Crawford, you will have the opportunity to vote for one or the other on April 1st when they face off. However, as I mentioned for the DPI race with Jill Underley, Jeff Wright, Brittany Kinzer, because there are three candidates, that requires a primary. And that primary is 12 days away. And in-person absentee voting is now available at your local clerk's office for that primary election. You can head to myvote.wi.gov to learn more. Find out if you're registered. You can put in your name and birth date and find out if you're registered or not. Find out how to get registered. You can put in your address and it will tell you what exactly is going to be on the ballot. So head over to that website. It's the website for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So it is all the latest information. There's also an article on our website by Christina Lurie. And the headline is, Packers legend Vince Lombardi was the original DEI defender. And Christina writes about how Lombardi famously created a prejudice-free culture in Green Bay. She writes, when Lombardi took over the Packers, they had one black player. He immediately added 12 more and the first black assistant coach in the NFL. Vince Lombardi would not let his players frequent any restaurant, bar, or hotel that denied services to black people. He famously blessed the interracial marriage of defensive lineman Lionel Aldridge and his wife Vicky. And he was one of the first coaches in the NFL to offer opportunities to black players who had previously been sent to the startup AFL, which we now know as the AFC. Lombardi's daughter, Susan, said, "My father was way ahead of his time. He had been discriminated against as a dark-skinned Italian-American when he was younger. He felt passed up for coaching jobs that he deserved. He felt the pain of discrimination. And so he raised his family to accept everybody, no matter what color they were or whatever their sexual orientation was." And that's a part of our history that I know is not being taught much anymore. I mean, the closest you come is if you're watching The Godfather Part 2. Do you see the explicit discrimination against Italian Americans because they weren't considered truly white for their more olive complexion? We had discrimination against the Irish. We had discrimination against all kinds of groups who now have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren who are campaigning against DEI. And When Christina put this story up on Facebook, the comment section blew up with people that really caused me to wonder how much more work we have to do to explain the notion of providing opportunity for all. Not equal outcomes, but at least equal opportunity. A lot of the comments from people were just ugly, saying, oh, Lombardi had nothing to do with DEI. He just put the best players out there. Lombardi was all about the best players, and that's exactly how it should be. And thankfully, there are other commenters out there saying, you're missing the point. Yeah, of course, we'd all like for the very best of anybody to get an opportunity. It's that they didn't get an opportunity. Before Vince Lombardi came along, yeah, you could be the best. But if your skin was dark, you weren't getting on that team. You weren't getting in that restaurant. You weren't getting on that train. DEI programs help provide opportunities for groups that continue to be underserved to this day. One of our first big series back in 2020 when we first started was talking all about the systemic racism that still exists. It was a three-part series in education and in healthcare and in the courts. And it's as true today as it ever was. We have opportunities to help other communities to catch up, but not if we're going to have these ugly knee-jerk reactions to pioneers like Vince Lombardi. Two of our newest legislators are coming up next. You're up north. Natalie Cole was born this day in 1950. I just love the piano on this. This was her debut hit in the spring of 1975. And I learned last night that on the piano was Marvin Yancey, the songwriter of This Will Be. This helped Natalie Cole become the Grammy winner for Best New Artist back in 1975. And she and Marvin Yancey were married for a short time as well. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network on this Thursday morning, February 6th. And as you know, on some of our, well, on all of our Thursdays so far this session of the new legislative session, we have been talking to new legislators because there's a bunch of them because the maps were fair for the first time in a decade. So you had retirements, you had open seats, you had incumbents defeated, and a whole lot of new faces. And they're new faces in the Capitol. They are not new faces necessarily to Up North News Radio because we talk to them as candidates or in other capacities. For Christian Phelps, it was his work with public education on with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And let me see, for State Senator Kristen Nassler-Alfheim, as Tony writes in from Ashland, State Senator Alfheim, formerly of Rational Revolution fame? Yeah, it would be that one. Senator, Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, everybody. Great to be on.
How are you doing, Christian?
Great to see you.
Yeah, you as well. Oh, my goodness, look at that. We got to fix Kristen's title over here. We still got her listed as a candidate. I'll take care of that. Kristen, what's it been like so far as a new legislator?
My favorite words are outstanding and astounding. outstanding in the amount of information you get to gather. I mean, truly, I try to keep up on things, but I don't think people realize how little we actually know about the full issues. And so I enjoy gathering the rest of the story, and astounding as to how much manufactured dysfunction exists and how most people understand that it's there and wish that it weren't. And still here we are.
But the learning curve is somewhat steep, but it's also exciting, isn't it?
It is. I mean, truly, every day. I don't know that people understand how our schedules look. It is every day. I'm down here two nights a week, and every hour on the hour, in some cases every 15 minutes, there is someone coming in to teach me about something, whether it's the how Wisconsin works, you know, energy, DNR, education. Or it's an issue that's important to them, kids in robotics. It is a ridiculously full calendar of learning, which I find fascinating. And I love it, and I love the people.
Oh gosh, I loved it so much. But again, some of us were just nerds that way, and you just had a whole bunch of new stuff to soak up. Christian, you work in education, so you're used to new classes and everything. What was your impression being a new legislator?
Yeah, I have a very similar impression, and I think that the feeling that I've had is just this sort of sense of responsibility that sets in, because you're not taking new classes in a theoretical way. I mean, you alluded to education there. You're taking in a lot of information, like the senator said, and all of it equally important. But it's never really lost on you, and maybe more so when you're brand new, that this information is being delivered to you because people are asking for you to improve their lives in Wisconsin, and that the impact of what you do with the information that you're taking in and how you take it forward in your work is actually going to have an impact. And so that sense of responsibility is kind of that's definitely the number one feeling so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, and while you want to make an impact and while you want to serve, you knew long before taking office that other people, use this office for, for power trips, and to rule and for, ideological sentiments that are not in line with, the mainstream of Wisconsin values. To that end, I noticed quite happily the press release from Senator Mark Spreitzer noting that the legislature's LGBTQ caucus kicked off its season with more than double the membership of the previous legislative session. And Representative Phelps, you are a vice chair of the committee, and Senator Alfheim is a member of that committee as well. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means, that the LGBTQ caucus is the size that it is and what it might mean going forward in the legislature? Senator, we'll start with you.
Well, first, again, DEI, right? It's the battle that's going on. And I will tell you that it was amazing to me during the campaign and now that I'm here, how many messages I get from young people, college kids, high school kids, parents of LGBT and trans that say, thank you for seeing us. Thank you. Thank you for helping us to just be part of this community without scrutiny. It's amazing. DEI is all about helping people find familiarity and find comfort in becoming themselves. And that allows them to go on and be better and bigger versions for our community as a whole. So the idea that there's such an attack against it is disappointing. That room being full of legislatures willing to stand up and say, come on, we do have issues in this country. These kids are not the ones causing that. So it's disheartening that it's necessary, and it's heartwarming that we're all there, and the people out there that are need us to step up and stand in the way of chaos, we're there for them, and they see it, and it means something to them.
So what does it mean, Christian, about one of the first bills, and we were talking about this last hour with Joe Zepecki, and I intentionally put a rather mocking tone on it. The bill that was circulated saying, oh, you guys, there's just so many flags now. There's just so many holidays that why don't we not put some of these other flags up anymore, knowing full well they're targeting the pride flag. And yet, again, that's one of the first bills introduced. You're a brand new legislator. What was your reaction?
Sorry, I'm having a little bit of a connectivity issue, but the question is about the introduction of the bill around flags are allowed. Yes,
that's right. Yep.
My impression of it is that we aren't surprised because, unfortunately, so far this session, at least on the assembly side, we've seen a lot of the behavior from the majority Republican Party that actually looks exactly the same way as how they were behaving before. We got fairer maps, which does not reflect the level of democracy that Wisconsin voters have asked from us. And that kind of behavior is introducing bills that I consider to be distractions from the agenda that they're really trying to push, which, as you know, from my background, includes things like undermining public schools, and not helping the working and middle classes of Wisconsin. In a meaningful way. But the real problem, from my perspective and from the LGBTQ caucus's perspective, is that simply introducing bills like this sends a harmful message, particularly to adolescents and young people who are coming to know their identities. And so we find it very important, as this larger caucus with 12 members right now, that Kristen and I are both a part of, to show those young people that there are legislators in the Capitol that are actually fighting for them, that we are not going to let messages that say your identity and pride in your identity is now going to be policed by legislators. We want to put forward a counter message to that that says that young people who are LGBTQ or might be LGBTQ and are trying to get or any identity and getting to know themselves also have fighters and allies in that building.
So along with the allies and along with plain defense, there will also be, as the statement notes from the caucus, introducing visionary legislation that will move our state forward. And that's where I want to pivot to the state budget here, because, you know, there are things that you're going to want to get done. And Governor Evers is going to spell that out more directly in 2 weeks as part of his state budget address. But we heard the state of the state address, Senator. And so give me your impression of what things you heard from the governor, things that you would really like to see accomplished. I know they'd be an uphill fight, but maybe there are some things where bipartisanship could put some new ideas in the budget.
Yeah, I mean, there is bipartisanship, and oftentimes our Republican friends will brag about it. The reality is that the only bipartisanship comes on bills that are authored by Republicans, because our bills don't even get a hearing. And that's the reality. So what I love about what the governor said is it's the year of the kid. I mean, come on. Who can argue with it's the year of the kid? Can we make sure they're fed, they're educated, they're healthy, and they're housed? If we do that, we actually will give these kids a chance to find success in our communities, which is what we want. It is both a social and a fiscal issue to give children, all children, the opportunity to find success in life. And if we don't, if we continue to fail at that, which we are, we continue to fail at that, we will continue to have social issues beyond that, which are costing us far more money. So I believe in the governor's vision. I get to spend time with the governor. He is a good, humble man who is just trying to do good, who desperately wants the legislature to work together, which I believe the body does want to work together. I believe there are Republicans that want to work together. But there are dials that have been turned by the majority that aren't allowing it to happen. Unless something's going to be unanimous on the floor, they're not going to bring it to the floor. We have bills. We have bills out there. I've talked to both sides of the organization, Republicans and Democrats, that probably 85% of the body, and I'm talking red, blue, House and Senate, all agree we should pass, and the bill will not come to the floor. Because that's the tools that have been, again, manufactured by the leadership to keep it from happening. Even the Republicans are getting mad. Senator Falskowski made a statement the other day. I think that was impressive. I actually went to a conservative legislative breakfast the other day. I was the one Democrat. There were four Republicans. And this is a deep red group coalition. And two of the four points that they had on slides to answer questions, I actually got to agree with, because they're mad that their issues are not getting a chance on the floor. Now, their issues are not something I enjoy. They are deep right issues, but they're mad at their own leadership because, in essence, democracy is not working. We are supposed to be able to talk about the issues of the people and vote on them, and then the majority will take us. Not preconditioned, it's going to pass or else we won't talk about it.
Kristen, tell us, you're on the phone now, and thanks for sticking with us and being patient, but tell us some of your priorities for the budget and beyond for this session.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. I'm actually already in Madison today, and because we have our first Assembly Education Committee hearing today, and I was hearing over and over in an Assembly district that includes a very good chunk of the city of Eau Claire and a very good chunk of the rural area around Eau Claire, that public education funding was probably one of the most unifying priorities across political identities and both urban and rural residents of the 93rd. And so I'm hoping that we can use this session to really hone in on what I believe is the most responsible definition of bipartisanship, which is what has bipartisan support in our actual communities, because I find that the divide is much broader and much deeper inside the Capitol than it is in our actual districts. And when districts like, when school districts rather like Osseo Fairchild that are very rural in my district, and Menominee and Eau Claire have all had to go to operating referenda in the last year, that tells voters that they are in an untenable situation and they are looking for legislators that are going to invest state resources in the next generation so that they can keep their property taxes down and set everybody up for success moving forward. So I want to not only work on a budget that does that, but to work on a narrative that puts forward a real solution, because we haven't really heard one from the Capitol in so long.
State Assembly Representative Kristen Phelps from Eau Claire, Senator Chris Dassler-Alfine from Appleton, thank you both very much. Appreciate your time. I know you're very busy learning the ropes and everything, but we really like getting to know what your priorities are, and looking forward to checking in with you throughout the session.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thank you, Kristen, thank you as well. You guys have a great day. Thanks for coming in today. When we come back, we will talk to Luke Mathers, I believe, the handsome and capable Luke Mathers, as I get set to, put on my beach gear and hit the road. He'll tell us what else to expect across the Civic Media Radio Network, which you can learn more about by heading over to civicmedia.us and learn about shows and learn about podcasts as well. Because look, if while I'm gone, if you're like, oh, what did Pat say about that other thing? You can go back on the website and look. Or you can get used to the Bach and the Doc, because they're here next week, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Back after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Just to be clear, one more time, we'll play a little Bob Marley, because I'm going to go engage in some, not primal scream therapy, but primal beach therapy, I think is needed. And I was very happy that Greg got his time in Memphis and Kristen had her time away. And now it's time for me to just unplug. And that's what I do. But before I do, I have to turn to the handsome and capable Luke Mathers to tell us more about, what else is happening around Civic Media World and the Milwaukee Bucks. What are you holding there, Mr. Mathers?
I don't have a tiki mug to see you off with, but I have a coffee mug to say yes. Safe travels to you,
thank
Mr.
You.
Brightlow.
Thank you. Chris Middleton trade. What do you think?
It's tough. It's tough. It's been a tough couple of I was gonna say days, but this is like literally just happening. So right. It's been a day. I had a feeling this was coming, and I'm not thrilled with who we got in return. I think Kyle Kuzma could contribute to the team in a more productive way, but his accuracy, his ability to be clutch down the stretch is nothing, I think, compared to what Chris had when he was at his peak. But then again, Chris is not at his peak. Added on top of it, I feel bad that Chris is now going from the Bucks to like the worst,
lowly Wizards,
the worst team.
They're so bad.
And Chris has been a staple of the Milwaukee Bucks team for the last 12 years now. And he was part of the worst Bucks team in franchise history, in league history, mm-hmm. that Bucks team in 2012 to 2013. And he came to us from the Pistons, which is not having the greatest time either. So like now he's kind of cast to Washington, and I feel for Chris. But at the same time, I think that if this gamble allows the Bucks to get back to the finals and win another championship for Giannis, it will be worth it. If anything short of that happens, I fear that it wasn't worth it.
Greg, doesn't this have a lot of similarities to, some of the Brewers players you lose, where it's like, we were just getting attached to them, but it's a business.
You see, the difference is, I think, and correct me, Luke, if I'm wrong, but I feel like when there is opportunity to keep a player and money is going to be involved, as a Bucks fan, you can say, well, the Bucks might spend the money on them. Whereas as a Brewers fan,
yeah,
we know it's not happening. The moment, perfect example, Mike Moustakas. There was no way the Brewers were ever going to lay down $43.1 million to keep Mike Moustakas. It was like, see you later, enjoy the Nationals and the Cincinnati Reds or whoever you're going to. But it's, I feel like the Bucks definitely have an attitude of investment in players to keep the team strong, whereas the Brewers are like, would you like a tote bag on your way out? There's a tote bag. Take a tote bag.
And, yes. And Luke properly switches hats mid-sentence from Bucks to his Brewers cap now.
Yes, but be that was the case, I think, for the beginning of this Giannis era. But now with new ownership and Jimmy Haslam as part of the ownership team of the Milwaukee Bucks, I fear, Greg, that will not. Oh, sorry, we're talking Bucks again. I yeah, fear
the Bucks hat on. Bucks,
there you go. That is going to be maybe not the case going forward, and so it's going to be interesting to see some of these big like the chemistry between Chris and Giannis is something that you can't replicate, and so. I think the question truly came down to availability and health when it came to Middleton being in the lineup, and so that's where this came into play. It's going to be interesting to see the Bucks still making a couple of moves. We added a center as well last night, so I don't know if they're done yet before the trade deadline, but it's going to be interesting to see leading up to today, I believe 1 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Central. I forget the exact hard cutoff, but there's been a lot of things to keep an eye on this week.
Did you hear us this morning saying that we would listen to a Bucks podcast?
Yeah, I got a new programming.
Dan Schaefer.
I got to be scheduled for that now, too.
You and Schaefer and Joe Zepecki. I would listen to that.
That was not, the putting something on your plate, Luke. That was us saying we would love to. It's a compliment, my friend.
Yes, you don't have to do it. Don't put
it on
your to-do
list. I know the Bucks well enough to be able to do like pull something like that.
I disagree. That's a bunch of bull pucky.
Did you not listen to yourself the past 3 minutes here? You are more than set.
Oh my gosh.
What else would you like to tell us about across Civic Media World before I skip town?
Well, yeah, we're going to have some excellent Civic Media mornings coming up in your absence. Bach in the dock. I don't think I have to tease any fun there. Greg's got it covered.
Monday through Thursday of next week.
Thursday, Mr. And Alba, and then two Fridays.
Todd Alba next tomorrow, and then the next Friday, which will be Valentine's Day. So I don't get to talk to you about the Super Bowl. I don't get to talk to you about Valentine's Day. So I better get it out of the way first. Luke,
we'll
Super
talk
Bowl?
We'll talk about it on the beach. Don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, No.
You got adjoining rooms.
Well, Tony's putting up on YouTube. Luke doesn't have to say goodbye. He'll be there with coordinated outfits, I believe. How did this stowaway thing catch legs all of a sudden? Yikes.
I don't know, Pat. We couldn't hide it well enough, I guess.
The very capable and handsome cabana helper, Luke Mathers.
No. Pool boys are Todd's thing, okay? We cannot encroach.
Oh, I didn't want to say anything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Super Bowl, quick.
I'm hoping for an Eagles win, but I'm just cheering for the Badgers. Leo Chanel and Zach Bond.
Okay. And Greg?
Yeah. Yeah, what's up?
What food are you most looking forward to enjoying during the
If I'm going somewhere, I'm gonna bring my chili dip. Bring chili
there
dip, baby.
I was telling
Jane, I have to make two of them because the first one goes in about 10 minutes. Then you gotta have a backup chili dip. So people can be like, what's this about? I'm like, don't worry, I brought backup.
Perfect. The encore chili dip.
Exactly.
All right, look, Greg is prepared for it. Yeah, that is a Super Bowl connoisseur right there. Yep.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Enjoy
we'll see
your
you on the
vacation,
other side.
Pat. Enjoy.
Thank you very much. And again, Todd Alba tomorrow morning. Thanks to today's guests and thanks to you for being here. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thank you so much. Enjoy the next week or so. And when I get back from the beach, I'll see you back here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.